up this morning on the wrong side of his heavenly bed. He doesn't sleep, but if he did, he'd have a king size. Just seeing if you're awake. But his commitment to you and I is based upon this covenant. It's covenant. He doesn't look at you and say, you know, man, when in the world is he ever going to get it? Come on. You heard him say that. Does that mean God doesn't want us to grow and mature? Of course not. But see, we don't understand covenant. So without covenant, things are in a flux. They change with our feelings, with our performance, with our opinion for the latest theological insight of the day or whatever it may be, whatever the flavor is. But God is, He is immutable. Therefore, He made a covenant with us, and the only covenant an immutable, unchangeable God can make is an immutable, unchangeable covenant. Isn't that right? And so, I want you to know, even as far back as Genesis, with Abraham. Now, you know a lot, and I talk about it and mention it. We talk about it here in the church, about the promises of God. That all the promises of God are yes and amen. But I want to tell you something. What we're going to talk about today is bigger than the promises. Because all the promises are based on what I'm going to be talking about, the covenant. Without the covenant, what good's a promise? I want you to see that. Turn with me, if you will, in Genesis chapter 15. You know that God had already spoken to Abraham to come out of Ur of the Chaldees and to come into a land that he would give him. And he made a number of promises to Abraham. He told him he would give him this land. He would told him he would bless him and multiply all that he owned and everything. But of course, the centerpiece of the promise that meant the most to the heart of Abraham was when God says, I'm going to give you a son who will be from your own flesh, who will be your heir. Now, all the other promises Abraham thought were great, but that was the one that had his heart. Isn't that right? Amen. And as the years went by, he had the promise. He had the promise. God spoke to him beginning in Genesis 12 and then all the way up to where we come to 15. Some period of years have gone by, and all this time, Abraham has had the promise. But now God is about to do something in addition. Hallelujah. How many of you know that God adds and multiplies? Hallelujah. I love heavenly arithmetic. God adds and multiplies. The devil subtracts and divides. So if it's subtracting and dividing, guess who it is? Come on. That's a good way to remember it, isn't it? So here's Abraham. He has the promises. Genesis 15. Let's look in verse 7. He also, God is speaking, said, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? Now, God already made him a promise, but Abraham comes back to God and he says, now, God, I got the promise, but he says, how can I know? And some of you are in that same position. Yes, you know what the promise of God has said. You found the promise of God in the Bible, but you're kind of like where Abraham was at this point in his life. He said, hey, God, I've got the promise. Time's going by. I'm not getting any younger. Now, you have to read this in between the lines. But if you know the story of Abraham, you know it's true, isn't it? I mean, man, he was 75 when God gave it to him. Now he's about 90. You thought it was impossible at 75. Guess what you think at 90? Hello. And see, God's given you a promise. He's spoken something to you. And maybe some time's gone by in your life, and you feel like saying to God, hey, God, how can I know I'm not getting any younger? Can I hear a holy grunt? You ever felt that way? I have. Oh, Lord, you gave me this promise. I thought this was going to happen a long time ago. Woo! You spoke it yesterday. I thought by the next day at least. But he says, but I want you to get something here. It's important. How can I know? He said, so the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abraham brought all these things to him, cut it in two, and arranged the halves in opposites across from each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. And as sun was setting, verse 12, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. The Lord said, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. And he goes on and talks to him about things here. What is happening here is God is making a covenant with Abraham. Now, Abraham already had the promise. He came out because of the promise. He took a step of faith. Because of the promise, he left his home and went into a land not knowing based on a promise. But time has gone by, and now he's saying, God, how can I know? And so for God to answer that question, he says, here's how you're going to know. I am going to cut a covenant with you, Abraham, and that will once and for all settle every doubt and every question. Oh, my goodness. That's good if I said it myself. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
So what I want us to do today is I don't want you to let go of the promise, but I want you to see what's underneath the promise. See, underneath the promise is not my efforts. It's not my smarts. It's not, and doesn't mean that God won't use any of that, but that's not the bottom line. Abraham says, I've got the promise, God. I left my home. I've stepped out in faith on the promise. But how will I know? And God says, here's how you'll know. It's a covenant. Can I hear a holy grunt?
Oh, yeah.
Turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. It is what? Covenant. What does this table here, this meal we're going to partake of in a few minutes, what is it? Covenant. It's covenant. Why we? It reminds us of the what? The covenant. What are we to be reminded of? My sins, my shortcomings, my failures, the passing of time, how weak I feel. We're to be what? We're to remind ourselves of the covenant. The covenant. How shall I know it will come to pass in my life? The covenant. Everybody say that with me. When I say, how shall you know? You say the covenant. How shall I know it'll come to pass in my life? Very good. Boy, you guys are quick studies. You did that great. Hebrews 6, 13. When God made his promise to Abram, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. Who made this covenant? God made it. God made it. Man, we're going to progress in this thing, and I'm telling you what, if you're not shouting by the end of this little exhortation, man, your wood's wet. He swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Verse 16, men swear by someone greater than themselves, and an oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all arguments. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath and a covenant. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered us may be greatly encouraged. Now God says, I'm making a promise, but to show you that the purpose behind this promise is clear and it's unchangeable in my mind, he says, I'm cutting this covenant. And when the covenant is made by an oath from God, it's settled. Because God cannot lie. And he said, this covenant is going to be an outward sign to you of this spiritual covenant that I am making. And it will, for every time you look at the covenant, every time you look at the covenant meal, partake of the covenant meal, it reminds you that God is eternally, unchangeably committed to his purpose for you. Circumstance will try to tell you the covenant won't work. People will try to tell you it won't work. The devil will try to tell you it's not working. But I want to tell you what, that's when you got to remind yourself, what did God say? He not only made me a promise, He made a covenant. He made it in the blood and the body of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's immutable. It's unchangeable. His purpose is forever sure, and I am standing on that covenant. Not on how I feel, not on what I look like, not on other people's opinion, but on what the covenant has said. Boom. And I ain't going to move. Now, I want you to see something here. Oh, here's where it gets good. Turn over to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Verse 15. Brothers, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is with this case. In other words, if a covenant's made just between two people, nobody can add to that covenant. Nobody can take away from that covenant. Why? Because they don't have anything to say about the covenant. They weren't in on the covenant. That covenant was between you and I, or you and whoever. So it doesn't matter just because the devil or other people want to say something different. That doesn't change the covenant. That doesn't change what God has said to you and I. That doesn't change God's promise one iota. That's what he's saying here. He says the promise was spoken to Abraham, and I want you to follow this carefully, and to his seed. Seed. The scriptures does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but, and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. Now, here's what I want you to see. This covenant, even though we are in it and we partake of it, technically, in the mind of God, this covenant is not between you and Him. The covenant is between Him and Jesus. God, who is the Father, immortal, infallible, and the Son, who is also God, immortal, infallible. So you got two beings, immortal, infallible, who cannot lie, who cannot fail, and the covenant's between them. That's my next step. That's my next step. Turn to Colossians. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Pastor Dwayne already knows where I'm going. Probably y'all do too. But I want you to see this. See, we thought, oh yeah, well, I know if I do my part. But the problem is, if God does everything perfectly and it's based on, and the covenant is based on each one doing their part. So if God does His part, but I can't do my part, what good's the covenant do me? I'm still left out in the cold. And that's where a lot of Christians miss it. Oh, I know God said that. I know if I could just do this, if I could just live up to it, if you could just, He wouldn't have had to done that. Hey, we wouldn't be doing this if you could just. If there had been one person who could just, the rest of us would be condemned by their righteousness. Because if one person could have reached the mark, I'm talking about normal human being, could reach the mark, then none of us would have had an excuse, would we? But the Bible says what? God's concluded what? Everybody's under sin. So everybody gets in on the covenant. Oh, I like the way God does business. Listen to this, Colossians 3. He says, we'll start with verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life, say my life, my life is now hidden with Christ in God. The covenant's made with who? God in Christ. But your life, my life, is now hidden in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Woo, what a sweet deal. God the Father can't fail. Jesus Christ can't fail. The covenant's between them two. So all the that's why he says all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. Why? It's a covenant. It's covenant. He says, how can I know God's purpose will be fulfilled. How can I know the eternal purpose of God for my life will be fulfilled? Because of the covenant. Oh, hallelujah. Turn over to Hebrews again. Turn back over there. Y'all getting anything out of this? This was not my message this morning. We had message interrupt us. Not really. I probably had the wrong one, and he got me on the right one. Hallelujah. Well, he's in charge. He can interrupt anything he wants to. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Sure can. I want you, Hebrews chapter 7. Let's pick it up in, about verse 17. Now, he's speaking about the different covenants here. He says, it is declared, speaking of Jesus, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. Are you listening? The law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without an oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Speaking of Jesus, our high priest, he said, you're a priest forever. Now, you know, he's saying, you know, under the old law, you know, that there were priests. Every generation had their priest because no generation lived no man lived forever, did he? And it didn't matter. Aaron died, his sons died, their sons died, the great-great-grandsons, the great-great-great, and the great-great, and all and so forth. They all died. He said, but listen, this is a better covenant. Let's read down out of that next verse. He said, because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now, who's the guarantee of the covenant? Jesus is. Jesus is. Not you, Jesus. Not you, Jesus. Everybody say this with me. Not me, Jesus. Let's say it one more time. Not me, Jesus. Not me, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. So here's the thing. How can the covenant fail? It's made between God and God. That's a pretty sure deal, isn't it? to speak humanly speaking. So here's the thing. What is God's purpose for you? What is God's call for you? And what are you focused upon? Are you focused on yourself? On your circumstances? On what the devil's saying? Or are you focused on the covenant? What is finished? What is established? What is unfallible? That's where I need to hold on to with my hope as an anchor. That's where my faith needs to rest. It don't need to rest in me. Hello? How about you? Man, I'm like Florida weather. I change so much. Come on. Oh, y'all look so holy. Come on. Isn't that right? I'm like Paul. See, I'm always changing, but here's what I have to do. I'm like Paul. He says, I keep my body under. See, my natural life, it wants to change all the time. How about yours? You ever get up in the morning and say, you know what, I don't feel like going to work. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like praying. I don't like them. They said. They didn't say. They should have said. They didn't do. They should have. I mean, it's all flux, isn't it? But here's the thing. When I'm drawn back to the covenant, that's why he said, remember where your life is hidden. Now listen. He said your life is hidden. Remember what he said? Seek first. Well, if it wasn't hidden, you wouldn't have to seek it, would you? It's hidden for us, not from us, but we still what? He says, seek this life. Seek this life. Don't seek your feelings. Don't seek your circumstances. Don't seek your fears. Seek this covenant. Seek the God of the kingdom of this covenant. It is established forever, and it is unchangeable in your life. You say, yeah, but what if I miss it? Doesn't matter. He didn't. See, it's not based on you. It's based on Him. Yeah, but I'm not perfect. Yeah, but He is. Yeah, but I don't know. But yes, He knows. Whatever your question is, He's already the answer. So what are you going to do? I've got to look at where my life is hidden. In other words, this life in this covenant is not apparent on the surface. When I look at you on the surface, when you look at me on the surface, you probably don't see a whole lot of that life. But if we can get beyond that, now what enables us to get beyond that? Love. Judgmentalism, legalism, and criticism are all surface things. I look on the externals. I look on what I should have done. I look on what you should have done. I look on what I didn't do. I look at what you didn't do. And we're all this. Here we go. But He says our life is hidden, so we move beyond the externals through the love of God, and we begin to look at one another in Christ in this covenant. And you know what that enables me to do? Believe the best of you. Because I'm not just counting on you to run your race. I'm counting on the fact that the covenant's been made from an infallible God and an infallible Son of God. I'm looking at the eternal purposes of God that will absolutely, completely be wrought in your life because of who made the covenant. Not with seeds, all of us, but with one seed. But if we're in Christ, our life's hidden with Him. Amen. Turn back over to Galatians real quickly. We're going to partake of this covenant meal in just a minute. Look in Galatians chapter 3. Go back there. Verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. See, we get in on the covenant through Him. But the covenant is made with Him, not us. It is with us, but it's not with us. It's like Paul said. He said, I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet it's not me that lives, it's Christ that lives in me. But it's not me that's living the life, it's the grace of God that's living. You know. It's like a bucket in a bucket in a bucket. The Father's in Him, we're in Him, we're in them, and they're in us. And you don't understand that any more than I do. Just rejoice and... Yeah. He said, for all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Pardon me. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. The one seed in Christ. You and I are all one in Christ. One seed that the covenant was made with Almighty God. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's, notice this, seed. He's talking to all of us, but He's using the singular word, seed. Why? Because we are in Christ, the seed. Who was the covenant made with? God and the seed. Oh, hallelujah. You are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So here's the thing. When God looks at you, how does He see you? Your natural life is hidden in Christ. So when He looks at you, it's hidden and He just sees the seed. Therefore, He calls you the seed. Oh, my God. Woo! The seed and heirs according to the promise. Glory to God. This takes believing up to a whole nother level. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you have a hard time believing Jesus is God? Jesus was perfect. Jesus finished the covenant. Well, then you oughtn't to have one single promise, believing one promise of God. Because all the promises were made to the seed. And since you're in Him and your life is hidden in Christ, when God looks at you, all He does is see the seed. So He says, the promise is yours. They're yes. They're yes. They're yes. His eternal purpose is secured. It's absolutely unchangeable. God will never change His mind about you. God will never change His mind about your purpose. Oh, hallelujah. Because it's not dependent on me. Oh, glory to God. Talk about this grace wherein we stand. This is good, isn't it? So this morning, as we prepare our hearts, we partake of this table. I want us to understand what covenant is. And we've just barely scratched the surface. This is the way God relates to you. Covenant. Are you listening? It is the way that you are related to. Because you are in covenant through the seed, Christ, all the promises are yours. Because you're in covenant through the seed, Christ Jesus, God's will never change His plan and His eternal purpose for your life. Talk about eternal security. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, it's settled. No wonder He says you're a new creation. No wonder He said old things have passed away. What are the old things? The old things of you trying to measure up. The old things of you trying to make it happen. The old things of you trying to figure it all out. No, it's in Christ now. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that good? So here's what I want to do. I want to ask the men if are doing the table here, the elders and the brothers. Would you come on? We're going to get ready to receive from the covenant table, but I want us to do it with this in mind. I want you to think about it. Listen, this cup and this bread, what does it represent? It represents, okay, the establishment, the fulfillment, and the absolute perfect settlement of a covenant between God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. And now, if you're a Christian, a believer, you're in Him. Therefore, the covenant is settled for you too. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Because of what? Covenant. Because of the blood. Because of the broken body. It is settled. It is settled. Listen, I'm not trying to get blessed. I am blessed. I'm not trying to get healed. I am healed. I'm not trying to have peace. I've been given peace. All of these things, they are mine, what? Because of the covenant. Amen? Men, would you begin to serve? Let me just say this, even if you're visiting, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are welcome. We invite you to partake of this covenant meal. It's not about Grace Community Church. It's about God's church. And if you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus and the grace,